You're listening to Friendlier, the podcast for friends who love to talk, read, and eat. I'm Abby.
And I'm Sarah. Today we're going to talk about our thoughts headed into the last year of our 30s and looking ahead to our 40s. But first, let's catch up on life lately. What's new with you, Abby?
Andrew and I recently sat down together and we talked through about August to see what we need in terms of childcare this summer with me working and him working. Mm-hmm. He has some travel coming up for work this summer. We plan some trips as a family that I am very excited about, including one to Dallas and one to North Carolina, and then a tentative one during our kids' fall break in September to the beach. So hopefully it will feel spread out enough that it won't feel like too much. This year, I feel like we tried to do too much in the short summer last year. But I think by thinking about it now, hopefully we have a better handle on what will feel appropriate and fun. And I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, nice. We are in the midst of that process. We're still waiting for some camps to release their dates. We're still trying to figure out some family vacations. But I'm looking forward to getting to the place where you are of having it all lined up.
Nice. What's new with you, Sarah?
I want to share how much my kids are enjoying some winter hobbies that they have gotten into in the new year.
Nice.
HP started playing with Lego, which is surprising to me that he hasn't been really into this before. We've gotten little kits, and he's done them sometimes. And our in-laws have a huge bin of Lego, and he loves going there and setting up scenes and having battles and doing a big setup in that situation. But he has never gotten into the building of the models. And then something clicked this January and he went through all that we have, which are not that many, and was just spending a lot of time on it. I was like, oh, this is so cool to find something that has been around, but new to him. So watching that. And then E got a crochet kit for Christmas called a Wooble. I don't know if you've seen these.
I have
kits.
Seen those. They're little animals.
Yes. Exactly. So she got a unicorn one, and they have really great tutorials, step-by-step videos to show you how to do all of it and walk you through so you can be a complete beginner. So she was doing that, and HP got into crocheting back in the pandemic, maybe, where he would make scarves, and saw her doing it and wanted to get in on it too. So they have both been crocheting. My sister just mailed them some new crochet kits. She works at a local yarn shop, and so
Oh, fun.
She found them there and sent them. It's just been really nice to have fun, hands-on things to engage in this indoor winter time.
So fun.
Now let's talk about what we've been reading. Abby, what is your latest book?
I listened to True Biz by Sarah Novick. This is a coming-of-age story about Charlie, who's a deaf teen who never had access to sign language growing up because her mom didn't want her to. So she has cochlear implants, and she does lip reading, but they never got her ASL. So she's basically hasn't had access to language. And her parents get divorced, and part of their divorce settlement specifies that she goes to the residential deaf school. So then you're introduced to this world of the residential deaf school. And it made me think so much about the power of language and access to language and how we as hearing people expect assimilation into a hearing world. Just lots of deaf history and culture in this engaging novel format, which I love. And I'm forever grateful to authors with these lived experiences of disability who so graciously write these beautiful books, and just really thankful to get to take them in. The only thing I'll say is that I wish for more from the ending, maybe less of a big event and more just continuing the normal lives or something. It felt kind of abrupt as it was, but it was still absolutely worth the read, and I would 100% recommend it.
Yeah.
What have you been reading, Sarah?
I read Saints and Misfits by S.K. Ali, and this is a young adult novel about Jana, a Muslim teenager living in Illinois. At the start of the book, she is sexually assaulted by Farouk, who is a member of her mosque that everyone thinks is the model Muslim. She thinks no one will believe her word against his if she comes forward. I loved the way throughout the book she talked about identity and how she makes decisions about what she valued. You could see her thought process as she navigated the different values of her parents, and her parents are divorced and have a different idea of how she should be interacting in the world. And then also between her tight-knit Muslim community and her life at the public school and her friends in each of those places and how she interacted in different spaces and was thinking through her identity. I don't know that I have read many books about Muslim teenagers before, and I'm glad that I picked this one up. In my young adult literature class, a major theme is talking about how books need to provide mirrors for kids to see themselves and then also windows into another culture or another lived experience. And I think both of the books we shared are examples of that.
Yeah.
I will say I thought the audio really added to the reading experience. I did audio almost the whole way through, but switched at one point to the hard copy for a couple chapters. And I was like, oh, I really love hearing the narrator's voice and the way that she's expressing the book. So cool. I would recommend the audio in particular for this one. I would recommend it. Solid YA read by an own voices author. Now let's move into our topic for today. We are 1 year away from 40. This episode comes out in between our birthdays. I turn 39 at the end of February, and you will turn 39 at the end of March. So our 30s are almost over. Let's start by looking back. What have been the highs, lows, and defining moments of your 30s?
When I turned 30, I was desperate to be pregnant, but I wasn't yet. Mm-hmm. And then Plum was born 6 weeks before I turned 31. So that was a big year for childbearing. And obviously, we've added Pepper to our family since then, too. And the birth of my children and getting to parent them alongside Andrew has been both a high and the defining challenge of my 30s.
Yep.
Also, plenty of lows related to parenting, too.
Uh-huh.
But I would say it's mostly highs and challenge.
Yes.
Luckily. My 30s were also defined by the move from North Carolina to Birmingham, which was huge for our family and not without challenge and lows. And then my pursuit of nursing as a career, which is something that I feel like I had been called to for a long time but put off because I was focused on the childbearing part in that early parenting years.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, going to school and then two different nursing jobs. So that pretty much sums it all up.
Yeah, a lot has happened. When I did this reflection, I was like, oh, yeah, we've really crammed a lot into this last decade.
We sure have.
When I turned 30, I had a 4-month-old and a 2.5-year-old and felt very in the thick of it with early parenting. We were also months away from moving to Bloomington. And now we've been here longer than any other place in our adult lives.
Mm.
We wanted to move to be able to find a place to put down roots and raise a family, and that's what we did. Some of the defining moments for me are starting to work in libraries. When I went into my 30s, I was really floundering career-wise.
Mm.
I was focused on parenting, so I don't think that felt like a problem at the time, but I very much had no idea what I would be doing when I turned 40, and going through that process, starting the work as a shelver, going back to library school, and then I will have finished my library degree in just a couple months.
Yay!
Yay! And that feels like a big part of the decade was figuring out what kind of work I want to be doing outside of the home.
Yeah.
Like you, parenting has really defined this decade, and raising our kids through these intense early years. The final thing I'll share that defined my 30s was having cancer. I was diagnosed when I was 33 and interacting with the medical system much more than I would prefer. When I think back to my 20s, I rarely thought about my health or thought about it in very different, what I would say now were naive ways of feeling like I had a lot of control and have a much different perspective headed into my 40s about my own health, mortality, and the healthcare system in general.
Yeah.
But looking back on all of that, I'm really proud of what I accomplished in my 30s. I think it's nice to take time to zoom out like this because a lot has happened. And when you're in that day-to-day of parenting especially, it's hard to do the zoom out. And I'm like, yeah, we did find a place. We did put down roots. We are figuring out our careers. We're raising these humans. Like, we're doing it.
We're doing the stuff.
Looking ahead, what are you most looking forward to about your 40s?
I'm looking forward to different parenting challenges. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm all done with the challenges.
With these current ones.
that we are currently still experiencing and working mm-hmm. through. And I also just really enjoy getting to know my kids as they grow and mm-hmm. become more themselves, especially thinking about young adulthood. Catherine Newman has such a lovely relationship with her yes. adult children. And I just look to that with so much anticipation and mm-hmm. hope going forward that we can really have great relationships with our children as they become more themselves. By the time I'm 49, Plum will have graduated from high school and mm-hmm. potentially be moving out of the house, and Pepper, you yeah. know, not far behind. So that feels really big for the next decade. Mm-hmm. And then the other big thing I'm thinking about is possibly midwifery school. It's still on my radar. I've said this before on the pod, I'm sure, but I really love bedside nursing more than I really thought that I would. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, with my first hospital closing, I don't think I can stay as a bedside nurse in my current role forever. Mm-hmm. And so there are things that I think I could do as a provider that I can't do now that really are feeling like the main thing pushing me toward considering that. And I don't think I'm ready in the next year, but maybe not mm-hmm. too long after that. So that's just something else I'm really doing a lot of discernment around.
Yeah. I am looking forward to so much. I am feeling very positive going into my 40s. I feel like they're going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I am going to be done with school. Never let me go back to school again. I have told Neil, I was like, if I ever mention it, just no, cancel, not allowed. No one's doing it. I was so positive in our year-end wrap-up. And looking back, I'm like, oh, I think part of that is because I was done with the semester. And that month in between my semesters this time, I was like, I am crushing it. I am doing all the self-care things. I am reading for fun. I have great boundaries around my phone. I'm spending time with my kids. We're playing games. I'm exercising. I just felt amazing. And then classes started and I was like, oh, yes, this. And so thinking ahead to that part being done and just having that space in my life feels really, really great. And I am very much looking forward to seeing what I can accomplish with that space mm-hmm. in terms of continuing to build friendships, relationships, being more involved in the community in a way that has felt too hard or overwhelming in my 30s with raising young kids and then trying to balance work and school. So the open space feels really promising to me right now, looking yeah. ahead. My 40s are also going to be defined by enjoying the last years my kids are at home. Both kids will be off to college or whatever step they take as they enter adulthood before the end of my 40s. E will graduate when I am 48, which I am just loving the ages they are now and seeing them grow into themselves. I was also going to mention Catherine Newman and thinking about building that foundation and how that is what we have been doing and continuing to do that these last years they're at home and then getting to enjoy each other for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just so fun to hang out with, and I really want to soak in these last years of all of us under the same roof. In our 30s, we did the big upheaval, move to a new place with this idea of putting down roots. And we have. And I'm excited in my 40s to just continue to settle in to our home and our city even more. Looking back, how have you changed over the last decade?
I think the most defining thing is that I'm medicated now. Zoloft mm-hmm. has been a game changer for me. My mental health has never been better than it is now. I think looking back, I had untreated PMDD throughout my late teens, 20s, and early 30s. But when I mm-hmm. sought treatment for postpartum anxiety when Pepper was almost one, I realized that managing my mental health didn't have to be as hard as it had been, mm-hmm. and that biochemical support has absolutely been the right thing for me.
Yeah.
The other thing is that I am more radicalized. Becoming mm-hmm. a parent, and a nurse working in reproductive health has made me much more staunchly pro-abortion. I think in my early 30s, I would have said that I was pro-choice, and now I'm pro-abortion. Abortion is healthcare. And also, my politics in general are getting more and more liberal as I get older, and I love it.
When I look back, I think I have grown in my capacity for happiness and contentment. I think I have always been a generally happy and content person. But now, entering my 40s, I think I recognize and savor the moments of joy in a way that I'm not sure that I did in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate that. I love to hear you say that mental health is one of the things that has gone in the right direction for you over the last decade. For me, I don't want to say that it's gone in the wrong direction, but I feel like these last few years have been hard with dealing with the anxiety in a way that I don't think I did in my early adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
Although, looking back, I wonder if I'm also just more aware of it and able to name it in a way that I couldn't when I was younger. Because I think some of what I feel in my body, I'm like, oh yeah, this is familiar to me.
Mm.
I do think it's more frequent and more intense than it has been in the past. But I also think that I have more self-awareness now than I did in my 20s.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
For sure.
I also quit drinking this decade and started running a lot more. And I feel like those are things that I do really strongly identify with. I identify as a non-drinker and I identify as a runner. And I would not have said that when I turned 30.
Love it.
Is there anything you want to do or accomplish in these next 12 months before we both turn 40?
This really feels like the year of therapy for me. I just started with a new personal therapist. We have a parenting therapist and we have a couples therapist. I am leaning way in to the professional help across the board.
Bring it on.
What about you, Sarah? Are there things you're thinking about wanting to do or accomplish this year?
I don't feel like I have really specific goals, but I am looking forward to settling into good post me being done with school routines. As I said, life felt so good in that break in between the semesters, and I am looking forward to getting back into that and being able to continue it longer than just the 4 weeks and feel like I'm in a really great place once I hit 40 and have all those things set up. Do you have any plans for how you would like to celebrate, either on the day or throughout the year?
In our friend group in Birmingham, it's tradition to have a party for your 40th birthday, and people go all out. So for Andrew's 40th birthday, which will be at the end of March, we're having a nerd party at our house. So come dressed as your favorite nerdy thing. He's probably going to be a wizard. I haven't decided yet what I'm going to do. And then we'll just hang out, eat good food, have a fire pit, maybe do some karaoke or something.
Nice.
But I would love to do a big group camping trip with lots of friends. Mm-hmm. End of March is perfect camping weather in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And we have a state park close by that we could do that. So probably for our local friends, that's what we'll do. But then I love the idea of celebrating my birthday multiple times with multiple friends.
Heck yeah.
And I think I will probably make it a year of celebrations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you and I were on the same page about this.
I love it.
Neil and I will both be turning 40 next year. His birthday is in September and mine in February. So I'd love to take a trip, possibly in the summer, because it would be in between our birthdays, possibly during the school year at some point where it's a little easier on the childcare front.
Uh-huh.
But I think that would be really great. I also think it would be fun to do a destination race.
Ooh.
I would love to do maybe a 10 miler. I feel like a half marathon. I just felt so like my body was done with life at the end of it.
Yeah.
And if I'm traveling somewhere fun, I think I would maybe not want to go quite that far so that I could still enjoy the whole experience of wherever we are. So 10 miles feels like a fun challenge, but maybe
not too much.
Quite as much as a half marathon. And then also, you know, maybe taking it a little easy doing the run, just enjoying the experience. And I think that would be fun to do with friends that are into running and making in a little mini adventure. I would also love to do a camping trip with you and our mutual friend who shares your birthday.
Yes.
And because we'll all be turning 40.
Oh, so good.
Some kind of girls trip with the three of us, I feel like, would be amazing, either camping or not. Or, you know, getting a hotel and ordering lots of amazing food and walking around a city that we haven't been to. So
I'm in.
Lots of options.
Let's do it.
It's going to be great. I feel very positive and energized after this conversation.
Me too.
All the good things in store for us.
Same.
Listeners, if you have any great ideas of ways to celebrate a milestone birthday, please do share. Let's end as we always do by sharing something we've been eating lately. One of my goals for ways to bring creativity into my life this year was to bake more bread.
And oh, yeah.
I have been doing that. I got the Paul Hollywood bread book from the library and tried making focaccia from it. I will say it did not seem very focaccia-y to me. It seemed more just like a regular loaf of bread. I did it with Kalamata olives because the kids and I love olives.
Uh-huh.
And then Neil just picked all of his out and gave them to me. So mine became even more olive-y.
Love that.
So it was a good bread, but I didn't feel like it was really focaccia. Mm-hmm. Then I turned to the internet and just said, best focaccia bread. And I have made this recipe twice. They have a version where you can do it quickly if you haven't planned ahead, and then an overnight version where you make the dough and let it sit in the refrigerator overnight. So I made a double batch and did half of it for that night, and half of it I put in the fridge. And it was great. It is from Alexandra Cooks and felt much more like what I was expecting in terms of the texture and the way that it turned out. And I will be making it again. My kids love when we have bread. I love when we have bread. Neil loves when we have bread. So feels like a great win.
I just tried a new to me Trader Joe's product, which is called garlic and Asiago cheese dip. It's in the frozen section. And then you can heat it up in the microwave, or I did mine in the toaster oven. And it was delicious. I was very pleasantly surprised by how yummy it was. I ate it with the naan crackers that you can get at Trader Joe's. So this is a new Trader Joe's product that I would recommend. That's all for this episode of Friendlier. It's been great talking with you, Sarah, and with all of you listeners.
You can find out more about everything we talked about today, including what we're reading and eating, in the show notes on our website, friendlierpodcast.com. You can leave us a comment there or on Instagram at friendlierpodcast, or email us, friendlierpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, may your books be engaging, your food delicious, and your conversations friendly.
What's new with you, Abby?
You didn't put anything.
Nothing. Nothing is new.